Good afternoon and welcome to the last half hour of this technology programme. We're talking about e-commerce. We have an absolutely packed studio, actually. We've not even got enough chairs for everybody in the studio, which is really great. And it just shows that it really is a vibrant business, I think, growing here in the UAE. We've got three fantastic entrepreneur ideas. We're joined. I'm going to actually just reintroduce everybody if you have just tuned in. We are joined by Omar Kasim, who is the CEO of Jado Pado, which is an electronics and lifestyle e-commerce site. We also have Sonia Sultan and Monica Dabowski from Glambox, which, give it to me in a nutshell.
Glambox is a subscription service for women where you can sign up online and receive 4 to 5 luxury samples every month to your doorstep.
And then if you like, you can buy the product.
And then click and buy.
Right, yep, thank you. And we also have Zaina Kanan and Rania Kanan, who are founders of AnnaNasa.com, which is an online destination marketplace to buy and sell handmade items made in the Middle East. Arts, crafts, clothes, furniture, home accessories, fashion, bags, shoes and jewellery. Welcome to you. And we also have Alexandra Tomei, who's the concept developer of Ogilvy V1 Middle East. So a very warm welcome to all of you once again. We've got a number of more questions, though, that we'll want to get to. We're going back, in fact, to where we left off with Alexandra asking about governance.
Would you yes, like to, governance.
Yes.
I mean, because we're in a region, you know, one of the problems we've discovered to entrepreneurialism is banks. Telcos can be an issue, and now we have trade licenses and government regulations and so on. I mean, you guys, your website, AnnaNasa, is set up to be a storefront for people. So I decide that I want to sell, for instance, my lovely book. I can sell it through your website by setting up a storefront on the website. How do you deal with the fact that small businesses here need trade licenses and all the rest of it, all the red tape?
That's a very good question, actually. Basically, we have stores out of the UAE, we have stores out of Jordan, we have stores out of Egypt, Lebanon. So it's a Middle Eastern thing. We do not have direct control over their registrations or trade licenses, but we do kind of educate them or promote them to get that their paperwork correct from the beginning. Because if they want to expand, and that's the whole aim of AnnaNasa, is to grow these businesses and push them to go global, they would need their correct paperwork.
Omar, what about you? When you set up Jado Pado, is it easy to get trade license registration here? Does the economic department get what you're doing with an online site? And
The economy department actually has a category for e-commerce businesses. The problem I think that they're sort of struggling with at the moment is that a lot of e-commerce sites have tried to set up in free zones. And free zones actually have a number of restrictions where you can't. So if you're a physical e-commerce business and you're set up in the internet city, say Dubai Internet City, you can't actually store and sell a product. Mm. So I've seen a number of competitors
in the city.
Yeah, you can't. So technically, a free zone is not. You're not meant to operate in the city. Yeah. You're not actually meant to sell services or products to the city. But people do sell services. But if you're trying to sell a product, you have to be you have to be located in the city essentially to transact
onshore
with consumers. Mm. Yeah. So I think that is an issue, but at the same time, the economy department does recognise e-commerce businesses as a category essentially.
And for yourself, ladies from Glambox, how did you register yourselves as a company?
Actually, I'd hate to repeat, but basically
the
exactly
same scenario
how Omar described.
Yeah. There was also we wanted to talk about funding, which is always a big question, isn't it, Rama?
Yeah, with you being entrepreneurs, some of you, and then Alex, your opinion. I mean, what is funding a barrier? Was it a barrier to you starting up? Is it? Can you give us ranges of how much you actually need? And Alex, can you tell us about how much investment is happening in this space?
All right, I'll just start with, obviously I don't have all the exact figures, but I can definitely see a very large trend from Turkey, who have a great e-commerce market there. They have investors that know what the e-commerce space is about. We have a number of very good investors in the region, N2V and Oasis 500 is a nice incubator, and then there's Flat 6 Labs, I think, in Egypt, and there's, a few people around. But in terms of, and perhaps you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, it's not necessarily all about the money, it's also about the strategic experience that the investors can bring. I mean, very recently we had a 2 million investment in Run to Sport, which I think is under the Souq platform, so that's quite a large amount. And then Market, again, going back to them, they got another $10 million worth in funding. So some very large figures in some cases.
Excuse my naivety here, but I'm always think, well, if you have an online business, I mean, how much funding do you really need, surely? I mean, it's not the same as having to rent a space and buy all the product. I mean, okay, you need a great website. You've got to, obviously got to employ maybe a couple of people initially. Seems like an awful lot of money.
There's a lot of growth, and Omar, I think, will perhaps tap in here. But I'll let the entrepreneurs speak a little bit more about the funding. But I think there's a lot to be said also for design. Omar's site actually managed to sell, I think, a million in less than a year, which is really, really good.
I did
one comparison on how people are finding their electronics goods, so, you know, through some telco sites and everything else. And it's a combination of your taking advantage of the SEO, some digital marketing, and we've seen a lot of reports that people are reluctant to buy online through apps, through sites, when they don't see the quality of the website design. And Jado Pedo has done very, very nicely.
It is, lovely.
And so is, you know, Glamour.
So that's really sort of paramount to getting the people in the first place.
People sort of, you know, from some perspective, they sort of think, you know, all I need to do is set up a site and have a little bit of product, and that's it, I'm ready to go. But, you know, you're sort of taking a lot of the cost that's associated with traditional retail and putting it on the back end. So you're talking about everything from warehousing to logistics to, you know, are you going to hold inventory? How much is that going to cost you? Your business setup costs. I mean, it's, you know, for us, for example, because we run our own logistics, we essentially have a pretty big back-end cost, which means that you do need a fair amount of investment going into the business.
Right. Well, you're getting nods from all around the studio when you're saying that, but your website, for instance, you didn't burn $10 million. You bootstrapped that business.
To some extent. But
have you burned $10
million? No. I think we were lucky in a sense, because I mean we're set up as a family business, so we are self-funded. But at the same time, we've sunk about $1 million in at this point. And with a little bit more allocated as well. And I think if you sort of want to scale regionally, you are looking at, you know, easily over $10 million if you want to sort of set up the right infrastructure and get product to your customers on time all the time.
So this is the back-end warehousing, logistics, and the website?
I think, again, you see, if you're hiring developers, if you're hiring designers, if you want the right sort of UI, then you want to set up, you know, the necessary marketing components and so on. It's not cheap. And I think people sort of think, yeah, again, you know, going back to...
Yeah, it's just a website.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
And then again, coming back to logistics again, if you want warehousing around the region, it's expensive. You need teams there, you need people, you need product. It gets expensive pretty quickly.
Yeah, you've already sort of painted a much bigger picture, I think, of the entire business. But yours is very different, obviously, to the ladies from Anna and Nasa, because do you actually store the goods, or the designers, the creators that do it for
exactly.
you?
Exactly. So. They keep their items with them, and the shipping company would go and pick it up from there. But it is a common misconception that it's cheap to do an online business. What people do not realize, it's a business. It's just online. Maybe the rental fees are not as much because you're just hosting somewhere. But it's a business. It needs marketing. It needs business development. It needs employees. Some of them need warehousing. So it really is a business that needs a lot of cash flow. And a common misconception is that, okay, I'll start a website. There are low barriers to entry. And that's why you see a lot of websites popping up, because of that conception that it's cheap.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Yeah.
So then, are you self-funded or did you get...
Yes, we are self-funded. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we actually like self-funding just because we feel like it gives you an opportunity to build a brand and portray a certain brand image. When you have funding, there becomes this pressure that you need to turn into a cash cow. And we feel like with any business, if you want to build it from the ground up and you want to create that strong association in the mind of your consumer, it's very important for you to build a proper brand image. And to do that, self-funding, I mean, is ideal, but... I mean, any entrepreneur likes money, right?
Any
entrepreneur needs money.
You're very confident. I mean, a lot of people who speak about, you know, bringing in capital also talk about it's not just the money, it's the mentoring, we need the help and so on. Yeah. What's made you so different so you don't need that? You just got out and done it?
You know, I think networking with people is something that where you get mentoring for free, believe it or not. I mean, we talk to a lot of people in the industry, and
there's so many helpful people around the Middle East who would really like to give you advice because they believe in what you're doing. And I feel like we get a lot of mentorship in that way. But once you get this cash flow where you have to, you know, kind of like report back and give certain amounts at a certain time, it's kind of like deteriorating your business. It's not really helping it grow.
Yeah, it's a great question there, Alexandra. I think about mentoring, and it's something I'm very interested in, and I've seen and heard lots of people talking about it as well. With the C of E and I think WAMDA is very much concerned with sort of mentoring and things like that as well. Going back to the ladies from Glambox, I mean, how did you sort of, have you found people that have helped you, and has it been a real struggle? Have you been sort of felt on your own, or have you felt a lot of support?
So I always say Glambox, we're very lucky, actually. We've been operating for 5 to 6 months now, and we've been very lucky in that we've received funding from friends and family until now. And it's allowed us to, completely within our control, build a very successful proof of concept in the UAE, where we actually have had the luxury of not having to answer to anyone. But that said, as we grow, and we want to grow very quickly, we are speaking to strategic partners now and looking for mentors as well.
Mm. Is strategic partners a euphemism for investors?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Okay.
I think we're going to take another very, very quick break, but what I'd like to talk about when we come back is perhaps future trends. And we've all mentioned, I think all of you have talked about going global and expanding. How do you plan to do that, and how do you market yourself to do that? And I think perhaps Alexandra can come in and talk to us a little bit about that as well, about going global and growing your brand. And also a little bit about mobile commerce as well with Omar. That's all coming up. We've had a couple of text messages come through as well. Thank you for that. Love the show. I also used an online DVD movie rental site called Limebox. Have you heard of that? Thank you very much for that. For the past year, really easy to use. Another text message. HSBC used to have a great internet credit card which had a limit of 1,000 dirhams. This was great to prevent a big financial hit if credit card details were stolen while online. It goes on to say that, sorry, this is from Wayne. Thanks, Wayne. A great product that the bank just stopped for no reason.
Probably because it was great.
Limebox doesn't seem to be working online, so maybe they've moved on.
Oh, have you just tried to
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, never mind. There are, Sammy says there are some fussy impositions by banks themselves. For example, layers and curtains of security time out the original transaction when you, sorry, which you're actually looking for. Did you get that?
Yeah, no, there are. You can time out transactions because
right.
of the amounts of security going on there. And Reza asked, what's the difference between e-commerce and e-business? Brilliant. E-business is inwardly focused. It's where you transform your business using technology. E-commerce is outwardly focused. That's where you transact with your consumers or other businesses or governments online.
Thank you very much.
Anytime.
Time for a break. We'll be back after this.